Hello, welcome to a TMC podcast. Today is November the 13th. It's a Thursday here in Connecticut, where it's a little overcast, a little cold, and I've got the pleasure of speaking with someone on a podcast today who has got some great things to tell us. It's Greg Gianforte, who is the CEO and founder of Right Now Technologies. Greg, how are you?
Good, Rich. It's good to be with you today.
Likewise. Please tell us, where are you right now?
I'm at our corporate headquarters in Bozeman, Montana.
And I hear it's very nice there.
We're really blessed. You know, we're in the Rocky Mountains. It's a great place to run a business from, just in terms of quality of people, work ethic, and it kind of pervades our whole culture.
Oh, that's fantastic. So how many years ago did you found this company?
We started just over 10 years ago and founded it here in Bozeman. So we're now today, we've had 10 consecutive years of revenue growth, and we're something over 700 people now.
Wow, well, congratulations. That's a really good-sized company, and that's also a long time to be around in the tech space. It's very impressive. And in case there are some of our listeners who are less familiar with Right Now, can you tell us a little bit, maybe give us an overview of your company and what you offer?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So we help organizations deliver a better customer experience while reducing operating costs. And we do that typically by working with the executive in a larger consumer-focused business, helping them automate the interactions between their company and their constituents. Just to give you an idea, last year we handled something over 1.5 billion customer interactions on behalf of our clients.
So, wow.
You know, on a quarterly basis, last quarter alone we handled about 600 million customer interaction. So that's like everybody in North America twice went through one of our systems last quarter to get an answer to a question.
Wow. Wow, that's these are staggering numbers to me. Very, very impressive.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about cash flow and just what's happening with technology buyers in the market. There's so much going on in the financial market, so much turmoil. I'd love to hear your perspective and advice.
Yeah, so we've been really fortunate in that, you know, our core value proposition is about helping people save money. And I go back to 2001, 2002, when the tech industry was in somewhat of a slump. We grew 40% through that period. And we just reported, we were a public company traded on NASDAQ. We just recently reported our results for Q3. And sales were up 24% year over year. We've generated almost $11 million in cash from operations year to date. We returned to non-GAAP profitability after making a financial model change about 2 years ago. And in the quarter, we reported a little over $36 million in revenue.
Well, congratulations. That's
thanks.
Quite an achievement in this market. So with the thought on the economy and it being on so many people's minds right now, what are some of the challenges or other challenges your customers are facing today?
Well, I've personally done now over 200 individual customer visits since the beginning of the year.
Wow.
In fact, I was just out this week. So I have some recent data. I'm typically meeting with a vice president of customer care or a general manager of a division in a larger enterprise. And this is, just for perspective, about 60% of our revenue is with companies that have more than $1 billion in revenue themselves. So they tend to be larger companies. And I was with a gentleman that's a VP of corporate marketing at one of our clients in the Bay Area here this week. And I asked him what his strategic goals were. And he said there's three of them. Number one, to reduce cost. Number two, to reduce cost. And number three, to reduce cost.
I was going to say, I have a good idea what number three is, so that's
right.
That's good. I was right.
Yeah, so it tends to focus, you know, at times like this, what we're seeing is traditional, Oracle or SAP projects are getting them put on hold because they take too long to stand up. But the business needs of of taking care of customers and making call center agents more efficient haven't gone away. So we're finding we're getting ourselves invited in. In fact, in the most recent earnings call, we said that our pipeline for business in Q4 is actually much stronger than the pipeline we had in Q3. So we've been encouraged. And I think that's for a couple of reasons. Primarily that because we're on a SaaS model and we're one of the leaders in this whole software as a service space, we do most of our deployments on a pilot basis because, honestly, most people don't trust anything a software vendor says. So we try and put our money where our mouth is and let people use our solutions in production prior to making a financial commitment to us. And this removes risk because at these times, nobody wants to stick their neck out. But if there's a way they can try something and then be the hero, that's a good thing.
That's excellent. So speaking of your product and some of the newer things that are coming out, I've heard that there's a new version coming out. And I want to know, I'm sure our listeners as well are very curious to know what it is that's going to be in the new version, and can you give us some details on when we can expect it?
Okay. So we do releases on a quarterly basis. This is one of the advantages. The most recent release that is out and generally available is the August 08 release. This included two or three major capabilities. The first was a functionality entitled Customer Portal. And really, it's a Dreamweaver clip-in. We've widgetized all the e-service components for email management, chat, web self-service, so people can build customized end-user experiences. Gartner recently issued their Magic Quadrant for e-service, and we're way far up in the right-hand upper quadrant with a whole bunch of white space around us. We do more of this than anybody else. And this customer portal just really furthers our differentiation there. We also added in the August release the ability for co-browse in our chat application for proactive chat. And we're finding a lot of clients are starting to introduce chat as an alternative support channel, particularly in pre-sales environments where there's upsell and cross-sell opportunities. Now, the release I think you're referring to is the one that will become generally available tomorrow. We'll officially announce it on November 18th. This has a number of significant capabilities. First, agent scripting, the ability for business analysts to build scripts for agents in call centers so we have consistency of support. It also includes a case-based reasoning capability for agents again. So we work with about 170 telcos around the world. One of the challenges they face is, how do I help my call center agents, for example, diagnose broadband modem issues? Well, with this case-based reasoning, a subject matter expert can build the questions and answers that leads to the leaves on the tree. This decision tree are really knowledge items in our knowledge foundation. So that's available in that release. So those are some of the exciting things we're working on.
That's great. So for those of the listeners who may not be familiar with widgets, can you just give us a little bit on widgets and why they may be important and why you're embracing them?
Sure. So this goes back to where we started the business 10 years ago and really were the pioneer in e-service. When e-service was first introduced, it was really like a, not to be too derogatory, but it was sort of like a bag you hang on the side of the website. And today, if you go to some of our top clients like Travelocity or Orbitz or Black & Decker or Medicare or Social Security Administration, and you click on the support button on their homepage, all of the pages that get returned under that button are all right now technology pages that help consumers find their answer quickly. And that was really generation one of e-service, this hierarchy of pages. What we've done, a widget essentially is a digestible piece of functionality that can be dragged and dropped anywhere on a web experience. So what we've done is we've broken our best-of-breed e-service into these widgets. So there's a widget for chat. There's a widget for the top five answers for a problem. There's a widget for escalating to a human in the call center. That, and there's dozens of these widgets. We've put them all in a palette that clips into Dreamweaver, and now our customers can actually grab a widget and drag it onto a page to build an integrated support experience. And it doesn't just have to be this hierarchy of pages hanging off the side. For example, you might want a support widget on a product information page that includes the most popular 5 pieces of information about that particular product. So that's how we're using widgets.
So, and that's fantastic that you've embraced the technology. If I'm a call center manager or a CRM, VP of CRM, and I wanted to see dashboard views of what's happening with my organization, am I able to widgetize or maybe have an iGoogle page where I'm able to drag those widgets on and maybe have 2 or 3 widgets of the performance of what's happening in my company?
So the answer is yes, but you wouldn't use our widgets. So if you think about our solution, there's really 2 major buckets of functionality. One is what we call the customer platform on demand, and this is the customer portal and the widgets we talked about, and those tools are designed to build an end user experience to maximize the ability for your consumers to help themselves and find immediate answers, and then to automate escalations to humans in the call center. The other half of the product, we call it, so the first part is CPOD for Consumer Platform On Demand. The second half is APOD, which is Agent Platform On Demand. And in that environment, we have a different set of tools, particularly the Workspace Designer, Contextual Workspaces, our Analytics Toolbox, all these sorts of things. And those are the tools you'd use to build this dynamic analytics dashboard to know what's going on in your contact center.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so I knew you had written a book, and I didn't understand how you could write a book because I know how busy you are. Now I realize that you're traveling all the time, so maybe you wrote a few of your chapters in the air. So it's kind of making sense to me now, and I'd love to hear more about the book, which is called, is it 8 to Great? Is that the title?
That's correct. It's and really what this is, we have something over 1,900 clients around the world, and what I did, And in those 1,900 clients, we've done between 4,000 and 5,000 deployments. And we've learned a lot about how do you move the ball down the field related to better customer experience and lower operating costs. And we saw some trends emerging related to exactly how people do that. And we broke it into 8 steps. We call it these 8 steps to great customer experience. And there's a chapter in the book on each of the 8 steps. And they center on making sure a knowledge foundation is in place, because the root of most bad experience is a lack of knowledge. And we know this instinctively because we call a company and say, I need help with X, Y, or Z. And they say, well, could you call back later? Or can I transfer you someplace else? You know, it's just that's indicative of this lack of knowledge. And then exposing the knowledge to empower consumers to help themselves. And then step 3 is empowering the frontline employees in the business. Step 4 is all about adding multi-channel choice so that consumers have choices about how they contact, whether it's email or web or chat or IVR or SMS. Step 5 is voice of customer, listening to our consumers. You'll never do a great job of improving experience if you don't know what your consumers are thinking. Step 6 is about designing processes so the right hand knows what the left hand's doing. Step 7 is about becoming more proactive. Most call centers, you know, operate like hospital emergency rooms where we wait for the patient to show up on a stretcher. And honestly, a health and fitness model is much more useful. And then step 8 is about continuous improvement. So that's what the book covers.
What's been the response?
Very strong. This is, you know, it invariably, this is our go-to-market. I mean, when we sit down with an executive who's responsible for customer care, this is a big elephant to try and eat, and it needs to be broken into digestible pieces. It typically takes one of our clients 3 to 4 years to work through these 8 steps with us, but it provides a high-level roadmap that certainly has to be adapted to an individual environment. But we find in consumer-centric businesses, particularly with the executive responsible for customer care, this is a very useful roadmap for us to use.
Wow, that's great. So really, you're marketing via education, it sounds like.
It's very much a consultative engagement focused on the business owner.
That makes a lot of sense. You educate people, and then, of course, they respect you for the education, and then they're interested in learning more about how you can help them solve some of the challenges that you point out, which all make a lot of sense to me. So that's great. Question on technology. I'm wondering, what are some of the things companies are doing now, especially since we're seeing tech evolve so rapidly? Like in the last 18 months, 24 months till today, have you seen any changes in terms of customer care? And the second part to that question would be, where are things headed?
From a technology perspective?
Sure.
So, I mean, one of the things we've found, and we've been aggressively replacing failed or struggling Siebel, Clarify, and Vantive installations in large call centers. And one of the things, most of the multinational clients we work with are using outsourcing to some degree.
If I could just back you up for a second. I try to memorize every acquisition. Are those all part of the same company now?
Clarify is owned by Amdocs.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Vantive and Siebel are owned by Oracle.
That's right. Okay, so two out of three. All right.
Yeah, there you go. It is funny, isn't it, the way
it's I used to have them all memorized. It was J.D. Edwards. There were so many of them that just got gobbled up and within a period of 3-4 years, and then I lost track.
Yeah.
So thanks for helping.
From a technology perspective, one of the business problems people say, well, if I can offshore or use outsourcers, that's a great way to complement call center agents, or maybe work-at-home agents. Many of our clients are doing that as well. Well, that client-server technology, either Siebel or Clarify or Vantive, because there's so much technology bolted down at one location, it doesn't support remote call centers very well. So from a technology perspective, we're finding that as companies try to implement follow-the-sun support policies or use outsourcing or implement work-at-home agents, the client-server technology just doesn't work very well. So that's one tech. So being a network-delivered app, that's very important. I'd say the second technology trend we've seen is that when SaaS firms first came out, we were almost all completely web-based. And today, we're still very much web-based for our end-user-facing components. But one of the things we've found as we've moved up market and gone into these larger call centers is that screen latency and keyboard latency issues have a dramatic effect on the overall productivity of agents in the call center. And if you use current web technology, things like iframes and dynamic HTML and AJAX functions, you're still dealing with round-trip delays back to the server every time there's a key press, or nearly every time there's a key press. And we've adopted a hybrid model where we're completely network-delivered. However, we use a smart client at the agent desktop. And this has allowed us to deliver desktop performance even though we're completely network delivered. And this is a unique differentiator, and it's really the reason why we're so unique in being able to solve the issues in these large multi-location contact center environments.
Could you give me a little more on that exactly, maybe just some more details on how that works in case there are some people that are unclear?
Sure. So we have our shared data centers around the world, and these are fully multi-tenant. So if you were standing up a new call center, let's say with a couple hundred agents or 50 agents, when they first go to execute our application, there is actually a download that gets installed locally. But the benefit of that then is once that's done once, the only traffic that goes over the internet is the data itself. And we use smart client technology, and we've actually licensed the user interface from Microsoft. So the agent desktop looks just like Microsoft Office, so there's very little training involved. So the call center, from an efficiency perspective, doesn't have to train their agents as much. And the performance is what you typically get from a desktop application, even though all the traffic is going over the internet. So we're really it's a hybrid model with the best of both worlds.
So we're talking about maybe something like an Outlook web access kind of system using and you didn't mention the specific technology, or if you did I might have missed it, but kind of like an Ajax interface with something like a Google Maps where you
That's exactly what we're not doing. Our application is more.
Glad I could help, Greg.
No problem. Sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. Our approach is much like the desktop version of Outlook in terms of performance. All the other SaaS vendors have implemented what you suggested, which is Ajax, and that's a reasonable expectation. They've used a browser. They've done Ajax, dynamic HTML, these sorts of things. The issue is, and if you've ever used both the web interface to Microsoft Outlook and the desktop version, you know, there's really no comparison. And that doesn't matter if we're doing something like sales automation where, you know, we hope our sales reps are in the application 30 minutes a day, because if they have to scratch their head a little longer and wait for a screen load, it's no big deal. But we are the primary operating environment for a call center agent. They're in our application 8 hours a day, and 10 or 15 seconds added to every call means the call center might be 20% less productive.
So now we're talking about productivity and that helping companies become more productive, and I see exactly why that is so crucial. So localized databases and things like that, you would need to localize a lot of the information on the client then.
We do some caching, but the bulk of it is stored out in the network. The difference is when you load a Ajax application, you're not just loading the data. The entire web page and the Ajax functionality has to come over the internet every time you load that page. In a hybrid model with a smart client, the application is downloaded once, and then literally only the customer data goes over the internet connection.
Perfect. Got it. Okay, so I know you've got a blog, and I'm actually looking at the blog right now, and it's a customer experience blog at rightnow.com/blog. And there was one entry that came to my attention recently, and it was titled Service is the New Sales, and in it you talk a little bit about sales as the highest and noblest form of service. Could you tell us a little bit about that blog entry?
Sure. I mean, think about from your own experience. If you took your car into a local mechanic and told him to change the oil, and then he gave you your car back, and you went on vacation, and you drove a couple hundred miles from home, and the muffler fell off, and you called up that mechanic and said, "Hey, my muffler fell off. Didn't you see this was broken when you had it in for the oil change?" And the mechanic says, "Oh, yeah, but you only asked me to change the oil." No one would consider that good service.
Agreed.
And what we're finding in clients when we work with them today is that it's harder and harder for companies to do outbound communications for upsell and cross-sell because the noise level's gotten so high. And it's kind of peculiar that most organizations have a department called customer service, and the people in that department historically have been getting calls from customers all day long, and they do their best to get those people off the phone as quickly as possible. And right down the hallway is another department called sales, and they're trying to call and get those people on the phone. So you think about that in a mental picture, and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I actually made a call today, and it's funny that you say that because there was a menu tree that almost was insulting in how it insinuated that if it was a sales call, they'll take it immediately, but if it was a service call, there may be a long wait.
So this service is a new sales. We're seeing a trend in companies recognizing that the interactions initiated by consumers, if satisfied quickly and effectively, represent an opportunity to drive incremental value. And so we're building out a solution strategy to put tools on the agent desktop to handle that sort of workflow in a way that may historically not have been part of their primary job description. But we're finding more and more VPs of customer service being handed quotas and being told to go sell something. and we're enabling that business process.
Very interesting. So with all this perspective, I'm interested in hearing about what you're looking forward to and or what we can look forward to seeing from you in the upcoming year.
Okay. Well, we have we break our R&D efforts into four specific areas. And the number one is best-of-breed e-service. This, as we say, that's the gal who brought us to the dance, and we're going to stay with her. She's a great greeting card for us as we go into new accounts. We added 68 new customers last quarter, people like Fox Interactive, Unilever, Citizens Bank, just some great and Men's Warehouse, just some great accounts. But e-service, we're continuing to do some very interesting things in terms of adding additional personalization, customization, allowing people to develop a better web and online experience. Number two, we continue to build out multi-channel service. These traditional on-premise products don't deal real well with emails and phone calls and cross-channel support issues, and we're continuing to flesh that out. Number three, we call it consumer-centric CRM. Things like services and new sales, increased segmentation, something we call automated personalization. And then fourth is we're doing a lot of work to help with integration. When we went into Logitech, there were 14 applications on the agent desktop, and they had to alt-tab between each one of them. There was warranty databases and inventory systems and a different warranty database for different product lines. And after we got our agent desktop in place, there was only one application on the desktop. But we're doing more to make that sort of integration easier. So those are the four areas we're focused on.
Wow, okay, quite impressive. A lot of things happening. It's great. And I know that you had a user summit, and it was this past October. I'm curious what some of the highlights of that event were. For those of the listeners who might have missed it, why don't we go over those?
You mean the highlight of the thing was the mechanical bull.
Are there any pictures? I hope so.
You know, we could probably, you know, I should post one up on my blog. I'll actually make a note. I'm going
to
do that.
If you do that and send me a link, I'll make sure to link to it as well. So,
okay, I will. I'm sure we have some pictures. In fact, the only thing that was kind of embarrassing, I was fortunate enough that my wife traveled with me to the users conference, and she stuck on the bull longer than I did.
Oh, that's great. That's
great. We had a bunch of customer panels that were really helpful. People like eHarmony, Convergys, Motorola, Qantas Airlines. I mean, we have some great customers. And it's usually, you know, it's a time we spend 3 days really sharing best practices. It was our best attended event ever. We had about 850 people. And we do it at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs. So it was a very positive event.
Congratulations. That's great. And so it sounds like in a tough environment, you guys are doing some great things in terms of helping your customers save money while doing some of the very important things of ensuring customer service levels stay as high as possible.
That's why we exist.
Fantastic. Well, thanks. Are there any other points that you want to make before we end the call?
The only last thing I'd say is that, you know, because most people don't trust software vendors, you know, we really believe we'd like to bring a new ethic to the software industry around try before you buy. And if a vendor's only willing to show you a PowerPoint and not willing to put their money where their mouth is, you got to question whether you want to do business with that company. And I think generally, if a company believes in their products and knows they can deliver it, they ought to be willing to take the risk to install it and show you the results before you pay a lot of money.
Thank you so much. And you've been listening to Greg Gianforte, who is the CEO and founder of Right Now Technologies. And this is Rich Trani with TMCNet. And this has been the TMCNet podcast. Thanks and have a great day.